is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Ukraine, the conflict with Russia. What is the national security issue for the United States of America? This question is getting louder and louder as we approach the 2024 election. Notably, the Republican candidates on the stage for the first debate, including Mr. Trump, question the commitment the Biden administration has made to Ukraine. What's in it for us? I welcome John Bolton, the former national security advisor for the Trump administration, former ambassador to the United Nations for the Bush administration, writing most recently at 1945. John, you identify the complaints, and the first one is that Mr. Biden cares more about the Ukraine border with Russia than he does about the American border with Mexico. How do you answer that, John? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Well, it's typical of many of the complaints. They're not really based on a strategic assessment of America's interest in Ukraine. They're based on non sequiturs and straw man arguments. And this really is a good example of a total non sequitur. Let's just assume correctly, in my view, that Biden's mishandling the southern border, both in terms of immigration, drug trafficking, human trafficking, you name it. Failure on the Mexican border does not justify failing to stop Russia's aggression. I mean, this is the idea that somehow you can only pursue one priority at a time. If you want to give up something that's completely unrelated to the Mexican border, just simply making no sense. It's a political argument. It's not a strategic argument.
All right. We go to another complaint, a very straightforward. We're writing blank checks for unknown characters, some of whom have been identified as corrupt or inadequate. How do you answer that, John?
Well, to my knowledge, nobody has ever said, hey, let's write a blank check and give it to Ukraine. Nobody's argued this is a straw man argument by the opponents. Much of what we're doing militarily with Ukraine is providing the weapons themselves. We are providing budget assistance in some respects, and I am all in favor of making sure that we're able to track where our weapons and money goes. Those who advocate supporting Ukraine do not advocate wasting the money. We do not advocate the inefficient use of the money or the corrupt diversion of the money. So it's entirely off point to say because some things may be diverted or because, heaven forbid, there's corruption in Ukraine. Of course, there's no corruption in the United States, as we well know. That's part of the friction of war. We should minimize it, absolutely, but it's not a reason to avoid acting in America's own strategic interest.
Now we come to the third objection, generally spoken oftentimes by professionals. We are committing to Ukraine resources and focus that we need to defend Taiwan from the imminent attack by the People's Liberation Army. How do you answer that, John?
Well, I do think Taiwan is under considerable threat by China. There's no doubt about it. And I don't doubt that China is the existential threat to America and the West in the 21st century. But I do believe the United States is capable of walking and chewing gum at the same time. And we did fight a two-front war during World War II. We are underinvesting across the board in our military capability. But what we're doing in Ukraine now is not diverting from Taiwan. At this moment, there's no need for Javelin anti-tank missiles in Taiwan. Does it tell us that we need to spend more to get more in our arsenals, to get more weapon systems, more ships at sea, more planes, more combat capabilities? Absolutely. And I do think Republicans are going to have to face the hard reality that we need more. But to say that somehow Taiwan should distract our attention from Ukraine is not just a logistical mistake. It's a strategic mistake. Nobody's watching the Russian aggression against Ukraine more than China, because if they believe the United States doesn't withstand the aggression there, it'll be that much easier for them to go after Taiwan.
You mentioned China. What is emerging more and more frequently each week is that China supports Russia for victory. We have recent news that China's been making credit available to Russia in the form of dollars, surplus dollars for their trade, which explains a deal of how Russia's propping up its the Kremlin budget. But at the same time, we're now seeing North Korea and Russia speak in a friendly fashion and propose joint exercises, naval exercises between Russia, China, and North Korea. So the puzzle here, John, is this idea that Russia doesn't matter as much as China. They're all one, if I read you correctly.
Right. What we've got is, I think we're at the end of the post-Cold War era. We had the Cold War, then we had the post-Cold War era. Now we're in something new, a completely different alignment of forces. You do have another China-Russia axis formed, although unlike in the Cold War, China is the dominant partner now. And there are already outriders and rogue states that have in effect become partners with that axis. North Korea is a good example. So is Iran. So is Belarus. So I think what this demonstrates is that we really are moving into a new period of global struggle. And the idea that, oh, it's just a crisis in Europe, or it's just a crisis in the Middle East, or it's just a crisis in East Asia. The causes of these crises are effectively all the same. And we either respond in a coherent global fashion, or we'll find ourselves in trouble in one or more of these different places.
Our European allies, and ones that are not so allied with us, but are looking for partnerships. I'm thinking of Moldova, for example, or Belarus. What is their fate if the critics win the argument and the U.S. pulls back from Ukraine? What happens to Eastern Europe, especially those states that are not part of NATO?
Well, the Russians here in the invasion of Ukraine are rejecting the settlement that they agreed to, that dissolved the Soviet Union in 1991, agreed to by Boris Yeltsin, Russia's first, last, and only freely and fairly elected president. And the union dissolved along the existing boundaries of the internal republics. If that settlement is not binding on Moscow anymore, every current independent country that used to be part of the Soviet Union is subject to the same military aggression as Ukraine. And that includes, of course, Estonia, Latvia, and Lithuania, now three NATO members. So if you want to talk about instability all along the periphery of Russia, in Europe, in Central Asia, in the Caucasus, allowing this aggression to succeed almost guarantees that that follows.
John, your measure of the war right now, is the Biden administration in this to win it or to draw it out? Is it a political concern for the White House? Can we tell?
Well, I think they're in it so that Ukraine doesn't lose, so they don't look bad. But they're not in it for Ukraine to win, because they have been fearful of Russian escalation. They have been deterred by Russia from the beginning of this war. We failed to deter the Russians from invading, but the Russians have been deterring us from aiding Ukraine effectively enough to drive the invaders back out again. I think it's been a huge mistake, and I think it's the cause of some Republican dissatisfaction with the administration. And it's a legitimate criticism that the White House is operating without an effective strategy. But it's better at least to preserve Ukraine's independence until we can get somebody in the White House with more of a strategic sense.
30 seconds, John. Was it a mistake not to make Ukraine a member of NATO at the most recent NATO summit?
Well, I don't think we could do it as long as there are Russian troops in country. The mistake was made in April of 2008 when the French and the Germans rejected George W. Bush's proposal to bring Ukraine and Georgia into NATO on a fast track back then.
John Bolton, writing at 1945 about the road ahead and the objections raised by chiefly the Republican Party for the commitment the Biden administration has made to Ukraine's defense. I'm John Batchelor.